This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 83. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hi.
Hi.
People have lost their minds.
On what?
Everything going on right now. Yeah. I've literally bunkered in at this point for the next month. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, a lot going on out there. And I'm getting more. Here's my concern right now, Amanda, real quick before we're going to do questions again today.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. But all of a sudden, I'm starting to see people asking about moving their money to stable value funds. Everybody's like freaking out about their money.
You know what? I had a terrible. Like first couple of weeks of September, pretty much the whole month of September until this last week. And now I'm at all time highs again. I feel great.
I am too. I guess people are now watching the money. Suddenly they've learned they've made money and then they don't realize elections have nothing to do with anything.
Well, they do short term, right? Yeah, like, so we're going to see a lot of volatility over the next 2 months, but it'll level out.
So basically, if you move
your money... No matter what, no matter who wins, it's going to level out, I promise. Right.
But if you move your money, you can't target it. You can't figure it out. So leave it in there, right?
Yeah.
But people are asking me, I need to move my money to stable value fund. Is that a good idea? I'm like, no, leave it alone. Leave it. Stop looking at it. Turn off the TV.
Yeah.
Don't even watch... Yeah. I'm not going to make comments about anything going on, but just stop watching all this stuff. Everybody knows what you're going to do. Do what you want to do. Vote how you want and just move on. Just
so without getting political, can I just say for a minute, like that first debate last week was is from minute one. I was like, man, this is like watching Jerry Springer.
So I have not watched a clip or anything. I went to bed early. Yeah, and I woke up at like 3 a.m. to do my other thing I do on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I always hop on Twitter to see what's going on.
It was painful to watch. It's as painful to watch as Jerry Springer, but it's also like a car crash that you can't look away from.
I still will not go look at it because I don't want to get caught up in it. But if I look at the people on both sides were making comments that, like, oh my God, was it that bad?
Yeah, it was one where everyone lost. There was no winner.
I've seen those comments, yeah. So
yeah, everyone loses, including the American people.
I'm 57. I don't think I've ever recalled a debate where nobody won.
Yeah. I heard like one CNN commentator say something along the lines of it was a dumpster fire inside of a train wreck inside of a hot mess. It was just like,
and the stock market still did really nothing.
It did nothing.
No.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my point
is like everyone just calm down. Like politics are going to be politics and your money is going to be fine.
Okay.
So long term, your money will be fine. Like I don't want someone coming back and saying, well, Amanda said it was going to be fine. And my stock market crashed for 2 days.
Never
long term.
Right. And never in the history of the stock market has over long term it gone down. Never.
Right.
Never. Even medium long range. Term. It always does short term, but long range, no, it does not go down. Indexes always go up. Always. Just leave it alone.
Historically.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not going to be like going down for the next 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree. Over time, that's why we tell everybody when you're within 10 years of retirement, then you need to back it off a little bit because historically, you need 10 years to even things out long term and have gains. So,
can we go back a few months? You remember when this whole pandemic started in the like March when the market crashed so severely? Right. What did I say?
Oh, absolutely.
What did I say on how long it would take to recover?
No, you were like on it. Six months.
Everyone else was like, oh my God, the world, the sky is falling.
And we told everybody back then, I made that video on Facebook as it was happening before stock market went down. I told everybody, I said, stock market's going to go down, but here's what I want you to do. Do nothing.
Do nothing.
And we were 100% correct.
Yeah.
We documented it before it happened.
Yeah.
Where other people jumped on bandwagons, we were on it and it's time stamped. We were 100% correct. Now, I was a little off on how quick it would come back. You were on it, though. I thought it would be a little bit longer.
Oh, it's kind of it's funny to me. I just go kind of by instinct and I don't do a lot of studying of charts and all that. You and my husband are both like super into studying charts and everything. And
well, I don't believe in chart reading. Yeah, but I do look at trends on a spreadsheet, but I don't believe in that stupid, this line, if I draw this line outward, I don't believe in that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it didn't take into account any news. They're just looking for a pattern. I don't believe in patterns.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I guess it's more like women's intuition in general, right? Like we call it like this magical intuition, but it's more the fact that sometimes your brain can process and synthesize all sorts of data points without you having to actually define each of those data points. So you kind of just take it all in and you synthesize it and you're like, yeah, that's where I land.
I think we call that my gut feeling is.
You do. Yeah. And that's what people call it. But it's really the fact that your brain can process data much better than even you know you can process.
Right. Based on your previous experiences, too.
It's all sorts of, all sorts of
things. Tons of factors, But so like anyway. I said, I've ignored everything because I'm doing better by not doing anything.
Yeah, me too.
I am killing it. I don't even know why my balance, I looked at my balance yesterday. I am at all-time high, but I have not touched a thing. I'm leaving alone. Yeah, one of my stocks goes down. I'm like, whatever. And the next day, it goes right back up. You can't predict this market. It's out of control. Yeah. So,
and that first week in September, it was rough. It was a big, big loss first week of September. And it took all of September to keep climbing up slowly, but now all time highs.
Well, based on what we just said, here's the first social media question. I think you're going to like it. It's related just to what we said.
Okay.
From Austin, I'm looking to start investing in mutual funds. Any advice? Can we make that paintbrush any wider? So here's the advice that we normally say, Amanda. Start with your index fund, your main S&P 500 index fund.
Yes.
From that, and this is based on historical proven data. You start with that. And then if you have a 401k, whatever, then you look and find, is there anything else that can beat it that is, by the way, American stock based. Don't do the international bond or anything like that. Stay away from that. Looking for another growth stock mutual fund that can beat the index on a short, medium, and long-term basis. There should be one or two in your 401k at least that can do that. So then from there, you're like, well, if I do 50% in the S&P index, the basic thing, and then you know what? I think I'll put 50% in this other one. And if you feel more comfortable, like me, I put 100% into stuff that beats the index. That's how confident I am.
Let me ask you this. When you say that beats it, so what are you looking at? Just so everyone can follow along. Because we say this all the time, and then I think people kind of get lost and confused on how they actually look at that. So when you open up your 401k account, you log in with your username and password, and you have this list of mutual funds to select from. What do you do next?
Okay, so the worst thing is the companies don't give you the information. I don't know why. They make it very difficult. Here's what I do. I go over to Yahoo Finance on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I go to Yahoo Finance. You can type in, let's say,
like FXAIX.
Right.
That's the Fidelity.
So I type that in. You can where it says on Yahoo Finance, where if you want to look at any stock or anything, find out the ticker symbol for your mutual fund. Pop it in there, and it brings up a graph of that mutual fund, right? Then there's a little thing in there where you can do compare. And if you click on compare, it shows you the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P 500. Click on that, and then now you have the S&P 500 index as compared to the growth of this mutual fund.
And what do you compare, like over a one-year period?
Well, the nice thing about Yahoo is you can expand it with your mouse, or you can make it short, medium, long. So I look.
No, but I mean, when you're making your decision, what do you look at? Like a 1 year?
I use 1 year, like 3 year and 10 year. And then the life of it also.
Yeah.
But I do 1, 3, 10, and then so on.
I think this is really important because I think we get a lot of questions on, Craig, where are you getting your charts from? You know, and things like that. And we always say you want to pick something that can beat or equal the S&P 500. And I think it's been difficult for people to figure out, well, how do I determine what that is?
It's actually super easy. And the mutual fund companies and 401k people are not going to tell you how to do that. They're going to give you numbers and confuse you. Or
can I make a suggestion? Sure. I think it would be great, Craig, if I'm going
to
give you
I know
homework.
What you're going to say to do. Go ahead. Yeah, because you don't have to do short, it. Go ahead.
Yeah, a homework for Craig. If make you can a video, make a short little video for our fan page.
I will do that.
Fan page.
Yes. Yes. So you have to join our fan page at Rock on the Money on Facebook. And yeah, I will do that because Amanda requested it. Only because you are.
Yeah.
I got to keep you happy. So.
Yeah. Right. Well, I know what I'm doing, but I'm just saying, like, we get a lot of questions on that.
I think people would be surprised how easy that is.
Yep.
The only thing that doesn't get included in that graph is the dividend payouts, which can actually boost it even higher.
Right.
So anyway, if I make a video, I can show that because dividends are right on that Yahoo thing. It's so easy, guys. It's very easy. So anyway.
All right. I think we beat that one to death.
Yep. Beat the horse. I need a sound effect for a horse. Social media question number two.
Don't. That sounds terrible. I know. A sound effect of us beating a horse. Yeah,
Pete will come after me.
Social media question two. I'm an animal lover.
I know you are. WWF. Lisa wants to know. It's not really a question. It's a statement which gets into what we just said. I feel scared that the sacrifice I've made for saving for retirement will be lost to the state of the world and the soon to be crashed economy.
Oh, Lisa's got a crystal ball.
She already says the economy is going to crash.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's fear. She's open and honest about the fact that she's got this fear, but it's fear and it's not necessarily grounded in reality. Mm. It's grounded in a place of anxiety. And it's so relatable right now to have this anxious feeling because there's so much uncertainty in the world, not just financially, but, you know, health wise and people's jobs and people's families and just looking around the world and having to see how all of our behaviors have had to adjust over the last 9 months. So it's totally relatable that there's this feeling of anxiety and this feeling of doom. Yeah. Like it feels like every month we get to, people keep saying, oh, we level up to the next level of Jumanji, right? Like it's October now. And what's going to happen this month? I keep thinking this, you know, the series finale of 2020 is going to be aliens coming down. But yeah, it's been quite a year. So I get it, Lisa. It feels like every corner we turn is just something worse and worse. So it's completely understandable that you feel like the economy is going to crash, but that's an emotional prediction, not one that's grounded in necessarily reality.
And Lisa, maybe you want to do what I do. I do not watch the news at all anymore. Yeah. I'm done.
I've even had to cut way back because I was just getting too much anxiety.
And it will make you believe that everything's falling apart when in reality that's not going to happen.
Because the media also is looking for ratings.
Absolutely.
So they have to make everything, you know, hyperbole. It's based in truth, but they also fluff it up with a lot of puffery.
And they're talking like, as we're recording this, guys, it's on Saturday after we found out the president has coronavirus. Okay.
Right.
So it's now 24/7 about Remdesivir, this and that. Is it, you know, guys, it'll make you nutty. People have lost their minds and don't get caught up in it, guys. Once again, Amanda, 10 weeks ago, I stopped looking at everything, even CNBC. I am now at an all-time high because I don't touch anything.
Yep. Yeah, I haven't touched anything in a long time. As soon as everything went down, I just decided I'm hands off because it's stressing me out.
And you can't predict it. It goes up and down and it has no reason. There's no reason for what it's doing right now.
And especially if, like me, you're, you know, years away from retirement, none of it matters today.
No, it doesn't.
Things can skyrocket in a short amount of time, too, just as they dive. So don't worry about it. Lisa, you're doing great. The fact that you've saved for retirement is wonderful. Of course, if you're closer to retirement, make sure you have a plan for to protect that. We always say, not just this year, but every year, we always say if you're, 5 years out from retirement, 10 years out, you should be in more of a target date fund or stable fund.
And the target date funds, are great because they automatically adjust to lessen your risk. There's always risk in investing.
There's always
risk. Always. Yeah. But it does back you off from the stock market a little bit more because you may need that money when you retire. So
And 2020 is not an exception. It certainly feels like it, but things happen all the time that impact the stock market for better and for worse.
So it'll be okay, Lisa.
Yeah.
Turn off the TV,
please.
Just
depending on where you are is where you need to adjust for the volatility.
And mute the people on Facebook. Use that snooze feature. It's awesome. I've snoozed everybody.
You snoozed me?
No, because you don't post political.
Well, you said everybody.
No, not you. Do you think that would be a good idea? Probably not.
Also, I do have a bone to pick with you, Craig.
Uh-oh, what'd I do?
I saw a comment that you made yesterday about how you're turning my hair gray. Why are we sharing with everyone that my hair is turning gray?
All right, search me question number 3.
Just because I can't get in to see a hairstylist this year.
You should see how gray mine is. Amanda is asking the question to you, Amanda.
Okay.
So this is from Amanda. My husband wants to turn in his new car to get rid of his $600 a month car payment. But the dealer says he would have to pay them $8,600, which means he's upside down. He says in the long run, this is better, but I can't go for paying that much to turn it in. Please advise. By the way, the vehicle originally cost $50,000.
Yeah. So this is what we warn people about all the time is buying these. A car is a depreciating asset. There is no value that you're going to ever get out of a car. So the moment, whether you buy new or you buy used, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Once you buy it, from that moment on, it's not worth what you paid for it.
Nope.
Of course, the new ones depreciate much faster the first few years, but no matter what, new or used, it's not going to be worth what you paid that day. So this is an unfortunate situation. Yeah, $600 a month is, for some people in small rural towns, that's a mortgage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a rental payment.
Yeah.
That's a rent. So that's nothing to sneeze at. And I get it. It's a hard pill to swallow, $8,600. That's why people oftentimes trade in vehicles because, these new dealerships are going to be so friendly and help you out. They're going to roll that money right into your next car payment. And then you're going to be even more upside down.
Right.
So, there's no getting around it. You have two choices. Keep paying $600 a month. And guess what? You're still going to pay this extra $8,600. It's just going to be spread over more time. And it's probably going to end up being closer to $12,000 by the time you're done paying interest.
Yeah.
And all the principal.
Oh, absolutely. In the first 2-3 years after you buy a new car, on average, vehicle loses 40% of its value. So it's so easy to get upside down on these cars if you're financing almost all of it, which a lot of people do.
Which is why when you go to make a purchase, they strongly encourage you to get gap insurance.
Right.
Because they know the minute you leave, you have a huge gap.
Yeah.
That's why they call it gap insurance, between what the car's worth and how much you still owe on it. And so if you were to get in a crash and wreck the car, the insurance company is only going to cover up to the value of it. And then you have this huge gap, which in this case, the gap is $8,600. We know exactly how much it is. That's uninsurable.
But
even if you got in a crash today and you don't have a gap insurance, you're still going to be out of pocket $9,000.
There's so many reasons, guys, why we tell you to buy a 2-3 year old car. and this is just one of many reasons. Who are you trying to impress? Someone that's in more debt than you? I mean, don't, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Especially so the nowadays. Other thing I might say, Amanda, great name, by the way, is look places other than a dealer. Unless this is a lease, in which case you don't have many options.
Yeah.
Except even in a lease, you can depending on who your lease is with, you can assign your lease to someone else if you can find a qualified person to do the lease assumption. But if you look to private buyers, you may be able to get more for the vehicle than if you were to just turn it into a dealer.
Good catch. It did say dealer, didn't it? Yep. You could probably get a couple thousand more by selling it yourself.
Yeah. So, and then there's other options, not even just a dealer, but like CarMax, they buy vehicles outright. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get multiple. Absolutely. Good catch on that. All right. We're going to take a quick break, Amanda, and we're going to come back with three more great questions from Ashley, Joe, and Kendall coming up next right here on Rock of the Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect. Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. We got 3 more questions to do. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the podcasts and some articles and stuff, and join us there. All right. Question number 4. You ready from Ashley?
Yes.
Get right into it. We were doing pictures from our company's website marketing. I love these questions. This comes up all the time. And we had our 3-year-old do modeling for the pictures. From everything I've researched, our company can pay her and then set her up as a Roth IRA. Does anyone have experience saving for a Roth IRA for a toddler? We've talked about this several times, Amanda.
Okay. So it sounds like your 3-year-old was a one-time contractor for your company as a model, not an ongoing employee of your company.
Right.
Yeah.
$10.99 the toddler.
Yeah, you're going to 1099 your toddler and then make your toddler pay self-employment tax as well.
Yep. They got paid taxes. They got filed taxes.
Yeah, just stop, people. You don't need to set up IRAs for your toddlers. Stop the
insanity. Everybody keeps trying to loop. And let's get real here. What are we really trying to do here? I'm not trying to judge them, but we've had people ask, was trying to circumvent the system. They're going to get you. Don't give the IRS computers a reason to flag your account.
Yeah, they're going to, it's not even a person. It's an algorithm that's going to say, whoa, 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 pump the brakes. Right. Why is a 2-year-old have an IRA set up?
And that's how
then they're
going to
start digging into all sorts of things. Right. And then guess what? They're going to dig into your finances.
Right.
And even if you've done everything right, an audit is super stressful.
That's why some people have home offices. They don't write them off because they don't want to be flagged.
Right.
Sometimes it's not worth writing things off.
Yeah. Well, nowadays you have the safe harbor rule for home offices. It's like a flat rate. Yeah.
Well, how many people are writing off home offices now?
Oh, yeah.
Tons. Oh, my God. That's going to be like the big write-off for 2020 is home offices. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, Ashley, calm yourself. First of all, do you have your own house in order? Where are you in your baby steps? And like a 529, I would put this in the same category. Do you have the college fund fully funded for your child? Yeah. Do that first. I mean, they are so far from retirement that is like not even a thought at this point. You should be focused on the next 20 to 25 years, not the next, 60.
And not to pile on, which I am. How much are they really paying this toddler for? What would be the market rate for a toddler in the pictures? I guarantee it's not $1,000.
And they're not paying the toddler. Let's be real. They're paying themselves.
Right. And we're only talking maybe a couple $100 if you could. You're not going to put like $6,000 in the IRA from one photo shoot with a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know,
that's
what came to mind is poor Britney Spears. Like, save Britney Spears, because it's one of these things where like child actors and child models are completely, taken advantage of by their parents. So stop. Just stop.
It's not worth it. Number five, Joe. What's a more important factor for long-term investing 20 plus years? The rate of return of a fund or the expense ratio of a fund?
Oh, this is an easy question.
Oh, it's very easy. It's a quickie.
Yeah, the rate of return.
Absolutely. You know, in our group, people are getting hung up about that. Like one of the funds that's in a group's 401k was Harbor Capital. And even though this thing is outperforming the number two fund in there by more than double, they were more worried about the expense ratio. I'm like, this fund made 40%, but the Harbor Capital has made over 100% in 3 years. Yeah. You know what? I'll pay 5% for that.
Yeah.
Are you killing? I mean, it's making 60% more than this next best fund. I'll pay you 5% for that.
Yeah. It's like, would you pay... So what were the numbers you shared again,
Karen? It was actually the Vanguard Index Fund made 40% over a 3-year period, the last 3 years.
And
Harbor Capital
was 100%
return. It was like 0.04 for the Vanguard.
Okay. Here's how the math works. Mm-hmm. Would you pay 40 cents to make, $40? Or would you pay $5 to make $100?
Ooh, can I write that down? That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Mm. I like that one. There you go.
That's basically where we're at, right?
I'd pay them $10 to give me... I'm serious. I mean, I'll pay you all day long if you beat the index, which is what this one fund does. All day. All day long. Yeah. People get hung up way too much. Now, expense ratios are important if it's not performing. But if it's blowing out an index fund... Pay them all day. They earn it. Heck yeah. Number six, the last one, Amanda.
Okay.
We've had this numerous times, but it must be important because people could be asking this one. Kendall wants to know, where is a good place to park their 3 to 6 month emergency fund? You know what?
My answers have evolved on this.
I think the problem is you brought it before in the previous episodes. The interest rates on these online bank accounts have plummeted to what? 0.6?
Yes. 0.6 is the current, right? I mean, if we record this in another couple of weeks, who knows? It might be 0.25.
Wow.
Yeah, no, we've gone in the last like year and a half, 2 years, we've gone from 3% interest to now we're at 0.6. And these are on the high yield online savings accounts. I mean, your brick and mortar savings accounts have always been atrocious. I mean, it's basically zero interest. So 3%, 3 to 6 months, in my opinion, at this point in time, it doesn't make a world of difference where you put it.
Just pick your favorite bank that has the least amount of rules, right? And fees and...
The least amount of rules, the least amount of fees. It should be free. You shouldn't be paying someone to hold your money.
Yeah, stay away from the brick and mortar. So you use Marcus still?
I still use Marcus by Goldman Sachs. I mean, my money's there. Why change, right?
But I have Ally Bank, which is similar. And Marcus was beating Ally on the interest rate a little bit for a while, but now they're almost identical now.
Yeah.
So just pick your favorite big. And go to bankrate.com. And there's a list of their online. Now, they're going to sort it with the people that are paying to be at the top list. So you have to resort it first to the best interest rates and stick with somebody mainstream like Ally. Marcus is with Goldman Sachs. Ally's big. Even Schwab. If you already have accounts with Schwab, that they have a bank also. So
yeah, the important part is make sure it's liquid. Like you don't want to be sticking it into investments that are going to be difficult for you to sell off in case of an emergency. I mean, that's what it is, an emergency fund. So you need it to be very accessible in case of an emergency. I mean, think about it like this. It's like one of those things that are like break the glass, right? Like it should be kind of away from you, like behind a glass box or whatever. But you still need to have the little hammer on a string next to it so you can break that glass and get to it in your time of need. So, it can't be like poured in the concrete of the building and you have to chisel away a whole bunch of concrete to get to it.
Thank you very much, Amanda. This was a great episode. Nice shorty. I like it. 30 minutes. Love it. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.